You can take this Dead Set Legends podcast anywhere, but to help the players at your local club really go places, see holden.com.au/homegroundadvantage to find out how they can share in $5 million worth of grants.
Angela Sun here, and thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Andrew Embley and Steve Butler.
We caught up with 15-year-old Alex Rullo, a good Trinity boy and the youngest V8 touring car winner ever.
We spoke to Campbell Brown on the West Coast Eagles win against Richmond.
And we had a chat to New South Wales Blues player Trent Merrin on their victory in Game 2 of the State of Origin.
In Barrett's spot, Steve Butler, senior writer for the West Australian. Now, you've got an article in the Weekend West today, page 27. It's about this V8 super kid, Alex Rullo.
Yeah, or Dead Set Legend in the making, young Alex. I think at about 14 years of age, Embers, I was battling to negotiate a skateboard. This young fella's 14 years old last Sunday and became the youngest ever winner of a V8 supercar series.
Incredible.
In a third-tier event. It was amazing. Alex, welcome, mate.
Thanks.
Now, you just tell us a little bit about how you actually got into the racing, because at 14 years of age, well, 15 you turned on Monday, happy birthday.
Thanks.
You're actually 2 years away from even actually getting your legal driver's license. So how'd you get into this, mate?
Well, I started racing go-karts when I was 10, so yeah, just watching like V8 supercars on TV, I was just into it. And yeah, so started racing and just got hooked.
And so do you have a V8 hero, or is that your dad? Because he races cars too.
Definitely idolised dad for the last few years.
Yeah.
But obviously I idolise people in the main game, like the young drivers and experienced people like Craig Lowndes.
Well, you had to idolise him from the rear vision mirror this time around, didn't you? Because Peter, I know Peter's standing behind you there, so I'm trying to be a bit polite, but your dad was in the same race as you on Sunday, wasn't he? You actually beat him.
Yeah. We won the whole weekend, so we beat Dad with that. And
where was he, mate? Were you looking at him? Did you know where he was?
I was keeping an eye on him for some bits, but
And do you have comms with each other or not?
We have comms with our engineers, so right. They tell us. Well, Dad actually asked his one where I was going.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But I could see Dad
way back
somewhere.
There.
Oh, that's classic stuff.
Now, Alex, I've got to ask you, mate. So you're 15 years old, just turned 15. You've been driving V8s for probably about a year now, maybe roughly. In 2 years' time or 18 months' time, you're probably going to go and get your licence. Do you feel pressure that you're not going to get your licence first go? And could you imagine what your mates will say to you if you didn't get it?
Yeah, definitely.
They'd be having a crack already, I reckon.
And birthday, it was on Monday, I believe. Yeah. Yeah? Happy birthday. Have you had any celebrations besides the win?
Not that many. The win was the main thing over the weekend.
Right.
So how did you celebrate, Alex?
Yeah.
Just had some family over for my birthday, but the win, not too much. We had to get in a plane, go back to Perth, go back to school. So,
Embers, how would that have been different from the 2006
celebrations? Just slightly a little bit different, but Alex looks like he's a lot more responsible person than the group that we had in 2006. But anyway, Alex, so what's the plan now for you, mate? What's the plan of attack?
Just get as many points for this year in the Kumo series that we're competing in. So we're still fifth in the points overall. So, we'll try get a top three finish overall for the championship. And then, we're still looking at options for next year.
Alex, I know as much as your need for speed, it's your desire to find out everything about your car and the craft and how it drives everything. Is it a real nerdy sort of thing for you?
Yeah, it is a bit nerdy. But yeah, I like the technical side of it. So just like the data overlays that we get, so it tells us everything the car's doing, and I can look at that and understand that. So it's really awesome to have that, and I think it helps a lot in racing.
And before we let you go, Daniel Ricciardo obviously racing something a little bit different at the moment, the Formula Ones. Is that something that you would potentially love to aspire to one day?
I would like to think that I could get to F1. It's obviously harder than other categories, but I'll just aim for the highest I can go, and any top level of racing is good.
I'll tell you what, mate, you're a Trinity boy, so you're halfway there. So good
That's
luck.
True. Yeah, we wish you all the best for your future. It looks very, very bright, and congratulations again on the win, and happy birthday again from all of us here at the Dead Set Legends.
Campbell Brown, thanks for joining us again.
G'day, Embers. Morning, everyone. How are you?
Brownie, third game in 13 days for the West Coast Eagles, but you wouldn't have known they are going extremely well at the moment.
No, they're flying, aren't they? And I just love their forward line at the moment. 13 shots between Kennedy, Lecrae and Darling for 7 goals, 6. And The young guys really stepping up, Dom Sheed and Elliot Yeo and Gaps in all Australian form. It really has been a remarkable performance from West Coast Eagles all year.
And you spoke about a few of those midfield guys, Brownie. Nick Natanui's ability to be able to get his hands on the football and then the depth through the midfield at the moment. For me, I've been saying for a while now it's about supply. The Eagles forward line is extremely potent. If you can get that football in, you're going to give those guys an opportunity to kick a winning score. And I thought their midfield again last night gave the forward line enough supply.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Matty Prittis continues to be underrated. I'm not sure how a Brownlow medalist continues to be underrated, but he's having a great year, as good as he had last year. And Nick Natanui just put on a clinic last night, didn't he? Poor Ivan Maric didn't know what to do. He just was getting jumped all over, and Natanui snuck forward, kicked a couple of goals as well, but it was just his deft tap ruck work around the grounds to hit outs to advantage, which was extraordinary.
Brownie, Steve Butler here. How are you, mate?
G'day, mate. I'm going well.
Heard your folks are overseas, about to see you swim in the English Channel very shortly.
Yeah, they're in Bordeaux at the moment. I think they're just drinking plenty of wine.
As they always have. Now, the footy, I reckon one unsung hero of that West Coast side at the moment is Brad Shepherd. He's been absolutely extraordinary. Playing on a bloke, Jack Riewoldt, who's probably about 10 centimetres taller than him last night and didn't really get the desserts that he deserved on the commentary last night, I didn't think. But he was absolutely extraordinary, I thought.
Yeah, he's been sensational down back. And McGovern as well, I thought, 8 intercept marks from him. He just reads the ball so well from a guy that played probably most of his footy as a forward. Xavier Ellis, I thought, was really good across halfback as well. It's good to see him finally get his body right and get back out there. And he's strung a couple of games together in a row. I think he'll be important in the second half of the season. So, look, all in all, Adam Simpson and West Coast Eagles should be absolutely wrapped with where they're sitting at the midway mark of the year.
Now, being a Hawks great, Brownie, you must have been pretty stoked with Thursday night's win, 29-point win against Adelaide.
I certainly was, and it's good to see the old-fashioned aggression from the Hawks back in vogue too. They really physically got stuck into the Crows, and it was a big game for their season. They've lost a number of close games this year. I still think they're the best side in the competition, but they seem more gettable this year than they were last year, and I think they made a bit of a stand Thursday night against the Crows, who kept coming, but Hawthorn just far too good in the end.
Yeah, they sure were. Now, what about the Hawks away jumper? There's been a bit of talk about that. They've been selling like hotcakes, but some people have, trust me to obviously talk about the fashion side of football. Sorry, boys.
Especially to us three.
But no, seriously, there is articles online about it. I'm not the only one talking about it. The jumper's been likened to a gold Power Ranger, a gold lame Bee Gees costume, and even a Ferrero Rocher chocolate. What are your thoughts on it, Brownie?
He's eating a few of those.
I think the jumper's absolutely putrid, so I'm not sure what
really?
People are doing buying it. Maybe it's a bit of a memento because they won't be seeing one like that too often again, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, Campbell Brown, mate, thanks very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We know you've got a big swim coming up. All the best for that. Hopefully we get to have a chat with you just before you go over and swim the English Channel. But once again, mate, appreciate your time.
Cheers. Great to speak to you.
It's time to talk State of Origin. I know you boys are all about AFL, but it was huge. It was a record crowd at the MCG. And to talk all about it is Trent Merrin, the star forward for the Blues and also the St George Illawarra Dragons. Morning, Trent. How are you feeling? Still on a high?
Yeah, a bit sore and tender. But,
okay.
On the high still, it was a great result for the boys.
Hey, Trent, MCG would have been arguably the biggest crowd that you guys have ever played in front of. It must have been a wonderful experience.
Oh, it was incredible. I think the captains run the day before. We had the chance to walk out and have a good feel for it. It was empty at the time. And I think we missed all the entertainment. I think we've seen photos after the game of how good it was. And we missed out on it all. It was great to see the MCG put on a performance like that for us.
It must have felt good too, Trent, because obviously under pressure after losing the first game. So the pressure plus the relief, I imagine it was a good experience all round in that regard to keep the series alive.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was definitely a tough week at training. We had a lot that we needed to work on, and we addressed it with each other, and we knew the job at hand was going to be massive, and Queensland never give up, and we went out there and we put on a great show.
Now, people are saying that you and Dave Clemmer, both your physicality on the night was just unbelievable, and it was you guys that really got the Blues the win. You must be pretty happy about that, hey?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great effort by all the boys. I think, like I said, during the week at training, we knew we had a big job at hand, and just the way that Queensland came out in game one and was really ruthless with everything they did in the defence, and I think we needed to take sort of a page out of that and turn it against them.
And another big game coming up, the Illawarra Dragons playing the Roosters. Do you have to play in that one as well on Monday night?
Yeah, I'll be backing up.
Wow, well done.
Right now, I headed into training yesterday and had some treatment done. So it's just about getting the body right now and going out there and getting bashed up again on Monday night.
Trent, you're making a bit of a mockery of all these AFL softies saying they can't pull a State of Origin game together during the week.
Have you seen the size of these blokes? They're a lot tougher than the AFL boys.
Obviously.
We don't do as many Ks as those boys, though. They're up there. They do a great job, the AFL boys.
Now, the final, of course, is going to be played in Queensland. So how tough do you reckon that's going to be for you guys?
I think it'll most definitely be our biggest challenge yet. We're the reigning champs, and it's going to be tough to keep it in our hands going to Queensland and doing it on their home turf. But in saying that, we love copping it from the Queensland. It gives us a bit of a high, and it really motivates us, and it'll help us get us across the line, hopefully, game three.
And just a quick question. Your girlfriend is Sally Fitzgibbons, of course, who just took out the Fiji Women's Pro with a burst eardrum. Talking of tough cookies, mate, she is one tough cookie. Have you taught her that, or does she teach you to be tough?
She's putting me on show at the moment.
Sure.
I've got to run out with a broken arm next week or something to try and top it. But she's a credit to herself. The way how hard she trains and the time she puts into herself, I think, when she did perforate it, I think it fell back on how much she trains, and it comes down to that second nature. So it was a credit to herself to be able to go through on and take it out with that.
Well, you must be a very happy couple winning the State of Origin Game 2 the other night and her amazing efforts over in Fiji as well. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, we wish you all the very best in the final State of Origin.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Trent.
Every Dead Set legend has to start somewhere. Find out how Holden can help give your local sports club the home ground advantage. See holden.com.au/homegroundadvantage.